got so each day.
Hi. What was that?
Hi, Mike. I have no idea. Anderson just pressed a button and said, let it play.
Hey, are we going out live right now or are we not live?
We sure are. Literally hundreds of humans are doing things besides listening to this show.
Where can people find it?
I don't know if it's even on theafterdisaster.com right now. It's definitely on Ustream. If you go to Ustream, what is it, Rune? After Disaster Live?
That's too much for me to type.
Strong start.
Let's go, let's do it. Woo!
Is anyone here else? Anyone else here surprised that throughout the course of this show, for how many years it's been on, that we haven't once just went, fuck it, let's just put the show on the air?
No, because that's how the show started.
Terrible instincts. Terrible, terrible instincts.
If we were still drinking on the air, we would probably
we would have
do
done
that.
It like a half a dozen times by now. Hi, everybody. How
like at
you?
Like at 1:30 in the morning, let's just give ourselves a 10-minute commercial.
Hey, everybody.
Anderson would be the...
I'm because the only person that would take any abuse or firings would be me.
Yeah.
But then the show would be over. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the After Disaster. Happy Thursday to you, everybody. This is a midnight edition, so that means that there is a slim possibility it'll be decent. I am
slim.
Anderson.
I would say slim to slightly more than slim.
Thanks, Tyler, for that. Thanks
Nailed
for that. As my dad used to say, it's chances are slim and none and slim left town.
As my dad used to say, back in the dungeon, bitch.
Speaking of my dad, I had a little lunch with daddy and mommy about a week ago, and it occurred to me that
I don't know if I
Japanese. We always go with the Asian persuasion. I don't know if I
you
ever
guys do
up.
Always go Asian.
I know. You know why? Because I always get to choose, and that's the only time I get to have Asian food. Well, I shouldn't say that. The wife, there's nothing the Asians make.
It's the only time he gets to look at Asian chicks, what are you saying?
There's nothing that the Asians make that the wife will eat, so
make french fries? They don't have a deep fryer back there?
I can't, the wife will never go to an Asian restaurant. She will, but she'll sit there and watch me eat like some...
She won't eat rice?
Some servient. No, never even tried a grain.
Humbugger!
But it occurred to me, I don't know if I've ever brought up my dad's, probably his best-selling line that he used to bring up all the time when we were kids.
What's that?
He force-fed it to all of us. Pain is good. You guys ever heard that one?
No.
I've heard pain don't hurt from Roadhouse.
Pain is good. Pain is good. Pain is good. You say that to any of the Cowan kids, and we shudder.
I'm shuddering. I don't like it.
That's not thing to say.
I thought it was a joke in reference to Chinese food or something. I thought it was like his Chinese food go-to.
The Asian food thing is just that throws you off kilter. That's just
like
Tyler
me.
Had to ask.
If you guys ever go get sushi with me, the first thing I do is take the chopsticks and go, one, and do a countdown above my head like it's a 70s rock band.
First thing I do is I put them in like a walrus.
Yeah.
It's a classic standby.
I don't, you know what I don't like is when people try and clean them. They try and think they're cleaning them up, and all it does is make them more jagged. And those splinters of
I do
wood,
that.
Is they're going all over your food.
I do that because I saw someone else do it.
Yeah, I think that all it does is cause trauma to the sticks, and now you're getting splinters in your tongue and
it's
in your food.
Right. You might be right.
I don't like it. But my dad, you guys remember, you're not old enough
Chopstick
to remember.
Chopstick trauma, awful band name.
Bactine, do you remember Bactine?
Of course I do.
Okay, Bactine was the worst.
Staple. That was a staple of my childhood.
So like Banaka?
Nothing like Banaka, but it probably pain hurt about as much.
Yeah.
So we would scrape like our knee or get like a nick or any kind of blood would be produced. Like we break the skin somehow.
Not for the mouth.
And our eyes would get big. Like if there was, let's say it was my brother and I playing in the backyard and like I fell and like blood started gushing from my leg. Didn't care about the blood in the leg. Didn't care about the actual wound. Cared about dad finding out about it because he would come chasing us. Like he would see the glee in his eye.
Is Bactine even still available? Because I want to get my hands on some of that now, because it's pure alcohol. It's basically pouring rubbing alcohol right on a big open
It's
scrape.
Like putting salt and just booze straight into your wound.
There was no painkiller involved in Bactine. It was just like, oh, it just sterilizes the cut to make sure it doesn't get infected.
Why not just use the good old hydrogen peroxide there?
Well, you could, but
nowadays
Bactine,
there's tons of Neosporin, all sorts of things. Soap, water is fine. Back then,
blow
I don't know what it was. but it was the back team. Like, it made the initial pain 10 times worse.
It was a little green bottle.
Did a day
green,
with the, did a day with the boys make you think of Bactine?
Enough with the day of the boys. Well, you know what? Overwhelming
negative response.
Positive response, actually. A lot of people are weighing in through AndersonKevin.com, yeah, letting me know, thanking me for turning them on to it. And a lot of good discussion about the 85, being born 85, post 85, pre 85, post 86, and now it's different generation there. Ty Ty, born in 86 over there. Ty Ty, Mr.
Born in the 86.
Mr. Social Media Boy over there.
That's me.
Wow. I don't know what that was.
I saw.
So, Bactine, yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about Bactine.
But he would chase us around. I literally, like, saw my eyes would get wide. I'd be like, shh, don't tell. And if my brother wasn't feeling real happy with me that day, Dad, get the Bactine. And he scraped his knee.
Pain is good. Pain is
and,
good.
And, like, he would literally chase us yeah. down, hold us down, and go, pain is good.
I haven't seen that stuff in 25 years, 30 years.
Oh, let's look it up. Let's look up some Bactine. Bactine. The worst.
They probably found out it doesn't do anything. You know what I mean? It's better just to let the blood seep out. You know what's weird is when you're a kid, I don't know why I feel like this wouldn't have been the case for you, Tyler, but it should have been. And but I bet it was with you playing baseball and stuff. So when I was a kid, it was a standard operating procedure for me to fall down and have about a silver dollar size scrape on my knee or my arm or my elbow that was just blood and raw meat.
Yeah, and it would
get, right? Am I right?
Yeah, it was just
a, it would just get that weird, like, just red, yeah, like, mush.
I also am very familiar with the feeling of my head hitting cement.
Yeah, so
that
in cold. The
and that deep skull.
Yes. How much goddamn brain damage do I have? Because I have hit my head on concrete at full force at least 25 times.
How about this one? You get hit so hard in the face, or you hit yourself so hard in the face that you feel like there's water up your nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or how about when you get water up your nose?
Oh.
No. But it's like the pain of, like, there's like blood shooting into your nose and through your nose.
You know what feeling I do not miss at all is the hot feet, like when you're like wearing your Converse on the blacktop and like your socks are rubbing around in there and you get like hot blistered Converse feet.
He used to knock the wind out of me about 2-3 times a week, probably. 2-3 times a week, I'd be like, I don't know if I'll ever take another breath for about 20 seconds.
This is how I die.
Had the wind knocked out of me and my head hit the concrete at the same time. And you're like, I'm dead. It's over. Done.
Like, and when I see war movies and like they have that shell shock thing, oh, or, yeah, like a giant bomb, oh, yeah, and like, it's just like, beep. I'm like, I totally relate to that, yeah, from childhood.
Yeah, only people aren't trying to kill me at the
right,
same time.
Exactly. But you can't hear anything. And then you can start to hear like muffled, like, oh my God, is he okay? Yep. What happened? Oh my God, is he
That had to have done damage, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, wow, I thought it was a good idea to just roll down this giant grass field. And for whatever reason, that brick wall at the bottom did not even occur to me as being a problem.
No. Nope.
Rolled down probably 80 yards.
Just a stopper.
And all of a sudden, I felt the water going up my nose, and I heard the,
you know what? It just gives me the chills right now, nauseous, thinking about all the times I hit my head on the cement. It was normally falling off my skateboard, and it was the back of my head. It wasn't like I went down on the side. It was flat on my back, wind knocked out, and my head, concrete.
You had that sweet hair, though, that probably helped you a little.
Yeah, maybe 0.0032%.
That's exact.
All right, before I forget, and before we get any deeper into the show, it's going to be a good program, I can tell you that. I want to call out somebody who I work with.
Call him out.
I want to call him out. Look, I found Bactine on Amazon. $5.49 a bottle. You can torture your children as well.
Does it say, top review, 5 stars from a certain Mr. Cowan that says pain is good?
It is 5
pain
stars.
Pain is good. Pain
it
is good.
It is actually 5-starred. Oh, you know what I could do if I was really sadistic? Hey, Daddy. See, you got a little cut there on your knee there, Daddy.
Just squirt him in the eyes and say you thought his eye was infected or something.
Is pain is good? Like, was that handed down to him from his father? Is that Cowan family tradition? I mean, sorry, a Cohen family tradition?
Do not call me Cohen.
It's one of those quotes that you can't justify in your head and find a positive.
Pain is good.
Except that, like...
Like, no pain, no gain. I get that one.
Right. It's not like it's teaching me anything.
That's
like,
what I mean.
Like, the only way that it could work is if I really get into S&M later in life.
Yeah. Pain is good. Pain is good.
Yeah, like if you cut your leg off with a chainsaw accidentally, you're just like, pain is good.
Like,
sorry.
Take the pain! Like, General Barnes says that in Platoon. Take the pain!
Okay, I get that. I'm very serious about this, and it's probably not the case, but I wonder, let's say you had unprotected sex with somebody that had genital warts. Could you hit your dick with that Bactine and maybe make it not happen?
I wouldn't be shocked. Probably not, but I wouldn't be shocked. It feels like it's killing everything.
Yeah.
Tyler, you've never heard of Bactine.
If you were rock hard and someone came around the corner with some Bactine, would you?
I'd limp it up immediately.
Yep. Yeah. There's no way.
No, this is like my Auschwitz.
There's no way that if you just squirted that on your dick that didn't have any cuts on it, it would still burn.
Uh-huh.
It's a good test. That's a good ghost pepper test.
Join us the Bactine in here. Episode 230, everybody.
You know what? Bactine will be good at finding cuts you don't know exist, like on your hands. You know how a cat scratches you.
Why do I want to find cuts that I don't know exist?
I don't know.
Why am I in search of them? You know what? I'm not sure if I have enough cuts on my hand.
What? Oh, I hate Bactine and I hate Seansky. That was the stuff that he'd always like rub all over our faces.
What was that?
That's the
suntan lotion.
Suntan sunscreen. And he would just like really sloppily like swash it all over our faces and in our eyes. Yeah,
yep. It was for the sea and for the slopes.
Yeah.
Whatever the sun.
Let's get both. Wait, and there's like one guy in the background. I think we're forgetting the desert, sir. Can we put the desert? Yeah. Doesn't run.
You get sunburn on the when you're skiing much more likely than you do when you're at the beach because you have the reflective surface.
All right. Earlier today, I did a program called the Film Vault where we did top five characters to get a beer with. It was good up. Top five characters to have a beer with. And I learn new things about my old co-host, Mr. Bishop over there every single day. Every time we do a show, I should say. And a lot of the time it's very disappointing. And tonight, in particular, was very, very upsetting and disappointed. He wanted to talk about how I'm bristly and how I keep people at bay. And I'm socially, he said it's not really awkward. It's just socially
stunted.
Aggressive almost. I don't know, which I agree with. And I have many shortcomings, and I will accept them. I will own most all of them. But when he says this, that I met, like one of the first people that I met at his, I forget why he was having a party even. I don't know if it was his birthday. Somehow I was invited to go out to his house, and I went, and the wife refused to come, so I'm there stag, and I don't know anyone, so I'm all uncomfortable. And it's
that's
a bunch
totally
of
uncomfortable.
USC frat boys for the most part, and they're like wives.
You should have invited me, and I would have stood over the fence outside of the house and just talked to you. You could have leaned against the fence.
That would have been cool. Actually, the next Brian Bash, if I'm not shooting a short that day, you and I are going. There's a very good chance that I'm going to be shooting that day. Are there any truck drivers? Anyone drive a truck, a semi? Come on. Hit me up at AndersonCowan.com.
I'm not invited to Brian Bash's after I murdered the softball game. Not invited back.
It wasn't his birthday because he always has little softball games for his
birthday. We know a truck driver.
Does he have a dick and a vagina?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that guy. No, I need somebody who's not a hermaphrodite who owns and operates.
Are there any non-hermaphrodites that run big rigs?
I got to be honest, you might have to throw that person a couple of bucks because just to fire that baby up and bring it over to wherever you want it.
I'll pay gas.
And I want to be there on that day because I want to ride around in a big rig.
I'll pay gas. But I'm also opening up the doors to a big, like just a big raised like truck if you have one of those, especially if it has the balls, the metal balls that hang off the back of it.
I want to drive a big rig so bad. If somebody's a big rig truck driver, they're coming through LA. I will.
I feel like we had a listener that contacted us once.
Gordon was the one who had the big bus.
I don't want to drive a motorhome.
Yeah, I need a motorhome could work if you have kids too that won't mind being jostled around.
I take it back. I want to drive a motorhome, but I want to drive a big
motorhome
rig.
Motorhome would be best. If you have kids, I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
I'm very excited. It's the punchline of my short.
Okay.
And I need it. The other short's in limbo, guys. I'm waiting for professionals to put their finishing touches on it. Then they'll be out. But, so Brian said,
if somebody has a big rig, I'll meet you somewhere within 100 miles just so I can ride around it for like 5 minutes.
Are you looking to be
rigged? That's terrifying, yeah.
No, but I want to drive in a big rig so bad. I always have since I was a little kid.
Please, sir. Can't you just do anything for a ride around the block. My mommy said not to talk strangers, but you sure have a shiny truck.
Okay. So tonight on the program, on the Film Vault, Brian told this story. And you guys tell me if this sounds remotely like me. I met one of the first people I met at his party. Brian says he was standing right there, was a guy named Gardner, Brian Gardner, John Gardner or something. And my first response to him was, John Gardner, what are you, a gardener?
Absolutely not.
In
100 years.
He says that his friend John Gardner or whatever looked over at Brian and like gave him a look like, kind of a guy, who's this guy? And Brian swears by it. That is not me at all.
It doesn't sound like you.
Sticking in my craw, guys. I can't let it go.
That's upsetting.
Really upsetting. And Brian, I looked him in the eye. He believes it happened. He believes he witnessed it. And I know it didn't happen.
You should tell Brian you want to get Gardner's phone number. We're going to call him up and find out if he's a liar
but
or not.
If it's his fucking frat boy friend.
Can you have that phone number for that guy, that friend of yours who's a gardener and his last name's a gardener?
Because it doesn't make you seem more weird that you're obsessing on it like months later.
It sticks in my craw, though, and it's not going to stop.
I'm with you. I know.
What are you, a gardener? What the Whoever would say that is somebody I would not want to ever be around.
I was on a hike today, and
that's weird. A new thing.
No, but this is how little things that don't mean anything bug me too. Mm-hmm. I saw a guy that I definitely know and I'm friends with, and I've known for 25 years. He's a comedian, and he's the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants. And we're walking, and I didn't look at him. I look down when I'm hiking. I don't look at people. And he walked past us, and she goes, "That guy was staring at you,
Kenny."
Yeah, and then she goes, "Oh, that's Tom Kenny." And I turned around, and I went, "Tom," and he didn't turn around. I went, "Tom," and he didn't turn around. And then I was like, "Why didn't he say hi? I've known him since the 80s. And when I normally see him in public, he runs over and says hi.
Well, apparently he was looking at you and you weren't looking at him, so I don't know why you're upset.
I looked down.
Maybe it wasn't him.
But it's not like he was ignoring you if he was looking at you. He then just didn't hear you once you finally realized and turned around and started yelling at him.
Send him a text and say, "Hey, Tom.
I don't have his number."
Well, then you guys are friends. Don't worry about it. Stop being so
Hollywood.
Yeah, but
weird.
We've been walking by each other on trails since the 80s.
Yeah, no, that's weird. I know. I don't recognize anybody on the trail. I don't. And
your trail photos are so creepy.
She recognizes everybody. She's like, "That's Elle Fanning. That's so and so. There's Ray Romano. There's so and so. There's yeah." It's like I'm like, "Who? Elle Fanning?
I know the name. Who anyone is?
I know.
Hey, I'm hiking.
I have no idea who anyone. Actually, I saw Ethan from Lost the other day. I was pretty excited about that because he has a face that looks like it's been bashed.
Tom Cruise's weird cousin.
Hiking?
Is it his cousin?
I don't know. Looks like him.
No, it does not look anything like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it does.
Ethan, one of the others from Lost.
With that broke-ass Owen Wilson nose?
His nose is pretty beat. It's pretty beat up. Okay.
Put some Bactine on it and straighten it out.
Tyler, it's not how Bactine works.
Is that not how it works? Oh. It's not like a redo for your body.
Hey, I got a new... I got a new answer.
I got to be honest with you. Yeah. Bactine was the punchline for a lot of comedians' jokes in the 80s.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. Bactine. That'll fix it. Bactine.
Like the
Bactine.
Duct tape of the 80s?
Yeah, I bet it... I remember...
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
Bactine's the worst.
It is the worst.
Was there the Bactines of comedy? Was there a big tour, like four guys that was all their punchlines?
Bactine.
How is Bactine still around?
I don't know, because... I don't know.
I want to have a kid just so I can apply this Bactine. I need retribution.
Well, you need a kid just so you can pass down pain is good. That can't die with you.
Pain is good. Yeah, because it's such a classic. So meaningful.
You got to keep fucking up kids for generations.
Pain is good.
I'd watch him do it to my sister, too. Like, he'd hold him down. It sounds so creepy. You walk into a room and you see a grown man holding down a little girl just yelling, "Pain is good! Pain is good!"
Yeah. That is fucking creepy, actually. Jeez.
You see the legs kicking. Okay, it's getting creepy.
It is. You see the legs kicking.
Because, like, we would all squirm and really do all... I would use all of my might to get away from him as he was applying the Bactine. And, you know, I was a little kid. I couldn't... All right. The most recent... inserting my foot deep into my throat.
Yeah.
The Muppets sound crew, they have a whole, like, eight people that do all of the Muppets, or the most recent Muppet movie, that do all of the post sound, sound mixing, the sound editing, the ADR, and they all know each other, and they're a tight-knit group, and they're working on this new project, which is actually a production shoot. They're actually shooting this new, with this guy that I kind of know through this other guy, and long story short, they were all in here, and it was very uncomfortable, because they came to shoot a bit with Drew, but Drew's management had already said no. But somebody lied or thought that he said yes. So all these people were here, and then poor Drew shows up. He's like, "They said no. I can't do this. What are you guys all here for?" So it was very uncomfortable. But what was even more uncomfortable was before Drew even got there, they come in, and I'm introduced to all of them. Like, this is the guy that does all the dialogue. This is the guy that does all the score.
What was Drew going to do with the Muppets?
No, I don't. It was the Muppets.
Were they going to have him talk like this?
There were no Muppets there. There was a guy dressed as Gene Simmons, okay? Like, full head to toe. And he had to do a... he was dressed that way from 7:30 in the morning, and he had an event that he had to do, and then he stayed in costume with the full makeup and the full gear for the entire day until like 9 o'clock when he came in to do his bit with Drew. And then Drew came in and said, "No, you've been
oh
in there
my God.
For the last 14 hours for nothing. Go home. Wash your face, weirdo." But when I was introduced to all of them, I was introduced to them as the Muppets post-production crew. And it's just crazy how much... goes into the post-production of movies. You know, you forget sometimes. You see the credits, but then when you see like a room full of people and like, "Hey, these are all the people that are in charge of the sound after the movie's done."
When I see the credits, all I can think about is, how is that possible?
All those people, especially with the CGI movies.
No, he's just confused about how the words go up.
Yeah, how do they make
them
go up?
Where do they disappear? Where do they come from?
Especially in the Muppets, because they knock them off at one point, and they make them go fast forward, and they drop the rope, and they all
really?
Go. Yeah. You haven't seen it yet?
Mm-mm.
I thought it was your kind of movie.
The first one is.
So I think, I'm always a little uncomfortable when I'm meeting groups of people, right?
Me too.
So
me
too.
Did you find any gardeners?
That's what I was just gonna say. Any of you guys named gardeners? Because I got a real humdinger.
There wasn't any go-to labor jokes with any of their last names?
So the one good thing is I'm on my own my home turf, because I'm in my studio. So that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. But still,
that's my house.
I'm like engulfed with like post-production sound people. Like literally enveloped. Like I'm the gooey center of a
And they probably want to talk sound with you too, because you're like the guy at the board with the headphones.
A little bit. That was
like
coming.
One of us.
So I'm, you know, I turn my back on them and I start doing some work. Because that's always an easy out, too. Like, I have a bunch of knobs that I can turn, and it's actual work that I need to do. Yeah. So I'm talking to him while I'm doing my work, and I had seen the Muppets movie, The Muppets Most Wanted, that's in theaters now. I had seen it that day. So I say, oh, I think immediately, I could talk to him about the Muppets. I'm like, hey, guys, saw the Muppets today. And they say, oh, really? What'd you think? Here's what I say next.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, I don't like the Muppets at all. I'm not a Muppets guy. I thought this one was okay.
The sound was kind of fucked up, but other than that.
And there's just silence, deafening silence. And I, why?
Yeah, why'd you bring it up and then put it down?
Why? I didn't want to. I didn't try to. I didn't mean to. It wasn't, and it's nothing like deep within my recesses of my brain where I'm trying to be a dick or I'm trying to get people to hate me. It's just, I wasn't thinking proper.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I do the same thing on occasion.
I feel like maybe you were trying to go with the, like, you know, I usually don't like those kind of
movies.
That's
exactly what I was doing.
But instead, you just. You did all the possible negative context that could be subtext that could be taken out of it, and you just said that.
Like, if they just did, like, worked on a cartoon, and I'm like, hey, I don't really like cartoons, but your cartoon's really cool. But it's so specific. Cause it's like, if I said, I don't really like puppet movies, but the Muppets are awesome, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But it was so specific.
As all those other puppet movies.
I've done that, as you know. I've had people go, do you know so-and-so? And I'm like, he's a dick. And then I went, no, actually, he's a good guy. And I'm like, which, you know... Like, it's a total lie.
Just
one's
a
total
180.
Lie.
A total 180.
Yeah. Because I realize, oh, they're friends and shit. I should just let people talk before I interject my opinion.
Well, back to Bald Fuck Brian. Love you, buddy. Who listens, by the way, because he's talking about piggies on the episode tonight. He's back and he's listening. But when I first met old Baldy, he was in the Loveline Studios, and I disliked him very much, and he had his thumbs raised, and he was coming towards me, and... Please just stay away from me. I would literally put on my hood or my sweatshirt.
Thumbs raised.
They're always up.
Just walking at you with thumbs up.
Yeah, and I would say, Brian, please, enough with the goddamn thumbs. I'm
positive attitude, though. I like it.
And he'd be like, thumbs? What are you talking about? Thumbs are good. They're it's what separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. Opposable thumbs. Like, sit the fuck down and answer calls.
That and we shave.
Plenty of things.
Between
we speak.
You know, let me get... So you were wary of... Of Brian.
Yes, turn yourself up a little bit. I can't believe
you're
I said
wary
that.
Of Brian. And
now you have a podcast.
I just turned myself up.
I didn't get that joke.
You're where you now Satan you have a podcast voice. With him.
Oh, yes.
You were very wary of me when I started.
Yeah.
Now you have a podcast.
I'm in the middle of a story about him.
Are you? When's your podcast with Rune coming out?
You hated Rune.
It's got to be like you got to be standing on the edge of a Runecast, right? Well,
there's plenty of other people that I hate that I'm on a podcast with, guys. All right.
At Loveline.
Yeah. I have a top five hated people that I've worked with.
People that you come around on, unless you're saying you haven't come around on.
Oh, no, those top five are not people that I've come around on.
No, I know.
Brian's still on the top.
I'm saying people you have podcasts with.
All right, settle down. But Brian says this to me, and I started in radio with this guy named Scott Farrell, and I loved him, and I loved his show,
Scott.
And we're still friends, and we still love each other, and we still talk and hang out, and I love
dick
Scott.
Picks.
Especially back, like, in this is like 2000 when Brian says this, like, first night in. He hears that Scott Farrell used to have a show down the hall. Somebody's like, yeah, Farrell and Scott Farrell on the bench. The show's right up there. And Brian says this, that guy's still in the air. That guy sucks. And I'm like, all right, fuck this guy even harder now. I hate him. You got to be careful what you say. That's coming from me.
That's a much better quote than pain is good.
Yeah, did
it. You got to be careful. If your dad would have said that, we don't, or at least you'd be.
Pain is good. You know the irony there is my dad is one of these people who's blessed with never really having any real pain. Like he has no aches or he's like 84, 85. He's like, you know, it's funny. I wake up in the morning and I feel fresh as a bird. Joints are great. Never really had much pain in his life.
You should just fucking hit him right in the face with Bactine. Pain is good. There you go.
Bury him under a landslide of Bactine bottles.
And the worst is like I thought of it just out of the blue when we were at lunch last week. And I'm like, hey, Dad, you remember that? Pain is good? Not really. He doesn't even remember it. I can't even give him shit like all these years later.
That is upsetting.
Let's say we fell off a boat in the middle of the ocean and we got stuck in that gigantic fucking trash heap that's floating around.
Oh, the one that with the bags? What? The bags?
We were out
Did
there.
Did you just hear Carolla talking about that this morning?
We're going to die.
Because he was just talking about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I'm not going to say the same thing he was saying. So we're in that big trash heap, that big swirling trash heap.
You know what I said? To
we see a bottle of Pactine go by. Uh-huh. We're immediately going to revert back to our childhood and forget that we're about to die in the sun. Right? for like a moment, we're going to be nostalgic and be like, oh my God, Pactine!
Yeah, there's plenty of things to be in the trash.
I bet the labels.
Why
I bet the labels.
Did you talk about the swirling?
It was
trash
weird.
Bottle?
That was the whole
just,
thing.
Because he just said the plastic bottle. You said the seat. You said the cavalcade, or you said the what? Plastic bottles coming down on him. And I immediately thought plastic bottles. That big trash thing is like plastic shards and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's plenty of things that could be in that trash ball out in the, sea that would take
treasure.
Take us away for a split
there's
second.
Just a big fucking chest goes floating by.
You know what Jillian told me, the wife.
What'd you do, Ian?
She told me that like every time you remember something that happened, the next time you remember it, you're remembering the way you remembered it rather than the actual event.
Right. I don't like that at all.
Like you're remembering
that's
the
how
most
your
recent.
Stories get more grandiose.
I don't like. Don't like.
That's everybody would be in the front row of every concert then.
What do you mean? Oh, by the time yeah.
I have that.
I saw the Stones in '81. A good show.
I
was on the
I
field.
I have that problem
cool.
with like great Dodger games. I'm like, I think I was there. Was that yeah. there?
They did. They did
know.
Like some a while ago that Kirk Gibson home run.
Oh yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Like they did a sampling.
400,000 people were there.
Yes. People, yeah, and like they did the yes. math, and it turned out that like you know 500,000 or 1,000,000 people were there
yeah.
at the game.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was there. Mm. Kirk Gibson.
When I met Carolla, I'm like, look, your car? My go-to. That's not going to... That's never going to leave the craw.
That's very upsetting.
I,
Like, I'm offended for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And the worst part
especially was... Especially because the legacy is such an awful joke. At least if it was, like...
Offensive or something.
Something that just didn't get a laugh.
Like,
or
if he was black and I said something, like, racist, I would... Even if it was not true, I'd be like, all right, whatever. You
Even
know, run
what
with
you
it.
Said to the Muppet people is fun, is like...
And I'll own it. The worst yeah. part, though, is looking at this man who I've known for over 10 years and him looking at me and not fucking with me because he's not that good. Just saying, Brian saying, yeah, you said that. I'm like, don't you know me at all?
You're going to have to start recording everywhere you go around Brian.
That was my initial thing. I'm like, we probably have it on tape. No, actually, we don't because it was just real life. God damn it.
Well, let's go to the tape.
GD it.
I encountered a guy tonight at a bar that I feel like both of you would dislike very much.
You're probably right.
Because if it bothered me, I can only imagine what it would do to you guys. Especially mm-hmm. Anderson with your appreciate the sacred land of bars. Some bar back was just wandering around behind the bar singing very loudly to all the music that was playing over the speakers. Like... Not like singing to himself, like singing like he wanted people to be like, oh, you can really sing. Or like get discovered or something.
Oh, like he was serious about it?
And it was in Hollywood too, so I was like, oh, this guy's just trying to get
Oh,
noticed
he's probably
like
straight from Iowa. Sorry to everyone that's still in Iowa or from Iowa. Don't mean anything by it, but like.
So terrible.
A lot of out-of-staters come to California, and you guys really embarrass at your home state.
That's funny the way you said that. Sorry for people who are still in Iowa. Like, we just make an assumption everybody wants out. Sorry if you're still stuck there.
Like, every time I talk shit about anyone, usually, like, the Nebraska thing always comes to mind. I'm talking about the people from Nebraska that fled Nebraska. Or yeah. I shouldn't say fled. People that left Nebraska and they came here.
You were paroled.
Anyone that leaves and comes somewhere else, a lot of the time you're running away from something. And a lot of that is a douchey existence.
And then I could glean from his conversation that he's having with the actual bartender. He's not even a bartender. He's the barback who's doing
right, okay.
this.
There's a lot of barbacks that listen. Let them.
Sorry, barbacks. And then I could tell from the conversation that he was new. Like, he was like his first week on the job, and he's
I
being
hope
the
they can
singing
that
guy.
And they should let that guy go.
And then it got really upsetting about, I don't know, 15 minutes later. There was like a little lull in the music. It started to pick back up, and he's like washing some cup like next to me, and I just hear. He starts beatboxing! I was like, I cannot with this person.
I know that
this,
type.
Just this.
I totally
I know that type. I'm going to Hollywood, and I'm going to get discovered. I'm going to let my light shine everywhere I fucking go, regardless of how much people hate me. And they don't get those people don't get it.
There was that horrible assistant audio guy that I worked with for a couple weeks over there at Access. Oh, I shouldn't say. I worked with this guy at this job that I was filling in. I picked up for, and like he was just horrible and awful. He was constantly just selling me out every chance he got and talking behind my back.
Wait, then why are you mad that you almost said?
Because I still don't want to bring it up.
Yeah,
you know. But I remember, and then like, he looks at me all seriously one day. We have like a moment like in between. It was a live TV thing, and he's like, you know, I do other things too. Like I'm a rapper. He's like, this is this white idiot, right? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. He's like, do you want to hear some of my well, you want to hear me spit?
Of course. Please, lay it on me.
I'm like, I don't think I even said yes or no.
Oh, close,
I think,
awkward, confined space with you? Yes, I'd love to hear your
raps.
And
he just did it, and he was 100% serious. And it was like right after we had just gotten into the big argument, too. Like, it's just weird. People... That was the worst.
You should have said, hold on, and held up your phone. Suge Knight's got to hear this.
Do like the Michael J. Fox thing? The Marty McFly thing?
Chuck, it's your cousin, Marvin Berry.
All right, this is good. This is good. It's going back to lunch with mom and dad and involves Carano.
What? Mike, you were there.
All right, so these really... Well, actually, okay, three teenage girls sat down next to us at lunch, right? And my dad is awful. Like, he doesn't know where he is, doesn't know who he is, doesn't know what's going on, but he knows he still likes the ladies a lot. He doesn't really notice age or anything like that. So my mom says, oh, great, look at that. And there's like three girls. One of them is like striking. She's totally, totally
pretty. What's she striking?
She just has way too much makeup on. But she's really, really pretty face and pretty eyes. And anyways, my dad just immediately starts staring over at them and just ignoring the rest of the table. I'm there with my mom, my sister, and my dad. And he's just completely ignoring us. And I'm like, Dad, would you stop Mike Carano-ing the girls? Just to myself, oh, Adam. Moms, mom and little sister burst into laughter. They got the joke.
I don't like that at all.
Ah, your reputation precedes you.
And I was just kind of like saying it for myself, like I was joking around. You know what I mean? But it was good because they got the joke.
Your mom, that's a nice. Big fan of the show?
That's sweet.
She knows enough, apparently. You steal that jacket?
She's heard about him.
No, I bought it at Costco groups. For $20.
I found one of those in my house.
I like it.
Jillian found a tank top. One of those Everlast tank tops?
Yeah.
Men's tank top in my bedroom.
If you're accusing me of leaving a tank top over there, I would never wear one.
It's the weirdest thing because she threw it on. And
I
then
feel like it'd look good in tank top.
Walking around the house and she goes, whose is this? I'm like, I don't know.
Your tan arms. You got to let them out.
It's a man's tank top. We haven't had a man in our house quite some time. She goes, yeah, I found it in the bedroom. I don't know.
We haven't had a man in our house in quite some time.
But what is that? What is that?
It's a tank top.
I received,
where'd it come from?
I received a scarf for Christmas years ago, and I left it out as if I was going to wear it for months until my girlfriend said, where'd you get that scarf? And I went, I thought you gave it to me. Because the only reason I left it out was I thought she gave it to me, and I wanted to make it look like, oh, I'm going to grab it one day off the edge of the couch and wear it.
Right, but she didn't give it to
you. She's like, I didn't give it to you. I was like, fucking thank God. And then she's like, well, who did? And I don't remember who, and I don't know who.
You still don't.
I just had a sick feeling in my stomach that one of you guys might have given it to me, but I don't think so. I hope not.
Oh, I've given you lots of scarves for all your presents.
I can't see myself wearing a scarf, even though I'd like to.
Scarf and a tank top. That's your go-to.
You know what? And sandals. I'm in.
Wait, if you found a man's... Tyler, of course you'd freak out.
A man's shirt?
If you found a man's shirt or a man's tank top or something that's obviously not yours in your bedroom, would you not be...
Well, you know what?
I would think that it probably got... Like, because we have the community laundry downstairs. Okay. I would just think that someone's...
Yeah, plus you've had your sister staying there at times and stuff, so it could have been...
Oh, that's true.
You know,
plus I'm pussy whipped, so I'd never think that she cheated on me.
What? You're not allowed to because you're pussy whipped? That's not how pussy whipped works.
No, I would never confront her, so I'd convince myself that she didn't cheat on me.
You just have to do that. You work that out on your own.
I should probably put it in the dryer.
I'm just thinking Jilly's got huge balls if she's like, you know what?
I'm going to put this on.
I'm going to wear Bill's shirt.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to ask my husband where it came from.
That would be the best. You have a repairman over to fix something. Uh-huh. And the receipt's right there on the counter. And she's wearing the shirt from the place. Where did that come from? I don't know.
But yeah, it says Jason at Plumbing Experts.
Yeah, it says Jason's
Experts.
Pool Cleaning. And there's a receipt there for...
And
yeah, I don't know.
20% off for...
And the guy left with no
handy?
Shirt on.
What's Jason like? He's a nice Hispanic young man. Well built.
Well hung.
Very virile. I think.
Very feral.
Judging by his
moustache.
Let me
tell you, the pain was good.
A lot of stamina. Yeah,
pain is good.
Pain is bien.
I ever tell you about guys about the time that I took acid in San Francisco without Jillian?
Please do.
And then what she did to me as revenge?
No.
I didn't tell you this? This is like a really, really good story. I don't like to use the word epic, but this is one of those stories that you would use that would deserve the epic title.
It's like pretty epic.
I forget how it came up. I think Jillian boasts about this one. But all right, so we're in San Francisco. Like,
real quick, does Jillian get payback?
She went and ate Asian food without you.
Does she get payback?
She gets payback.
Yeah,
she knows how. She's really good at it too.
My female ruthless. Friends get payback too, and even physical payback if I accidentally hit them with something.
Mm-hmm. How do you accidentally hit a female?
I've been
the
carrying
Italian blood,
carrying a case of water. I bumped into a friend mm-hmm. with it hard, mm-hmm. and we have a close relationship. And she turned around and punched me twice as payback. And I went, "What's that for?" She goes, "You hit me with that water." And I'm like, "It was an accident." She goes, "I know, but you hit me." And she's like, "Let me hit you another time." And I'm like, "No." And she goes,
"Well, she likes the pain."
She doesn't sound very well adjusted.
She's a pain is good girl.
Yeah, you're right. Pain is good.
Pain is good girl.
Pain is good girl.
It is a good little pain.
All right, so stop me if you've heard this. Stop me if you've heard this one.
Listen.
This is like 8 years ago. It's before Jillian and I lived together. And she's actually still living up in San Francisco. And I go up there because Ween is playing up there in this tiny little joint, right? They're playing two nights in a row. But the first night's in this tiny little joint. So we all pile into a car. We go downtown San Francisco, right by where the joint is. We park, and I say, chill here. I'm going to go buy tickets, see if I can scalp any because it's been sold out for a while. Go across the street. No one's selling. It's one of the only events I've ever been to where no one's selling anything. And it's essentially a bar. They probably cram in maybe 300 people at most. So I'm really bummed out. The only thing I find is a guy is selling acid. And in my I've had like three or four drinks, so I'm semi-drunk a little bit. And drunk enough to the point where it's a great idea to...
How much was it?
Give him like $3 for a hit of acid. Right?
That's it?
It's really cheap, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
It might have been like $5.
Start doing acid.
So... I was depressed.
The frugal man's drug.
Couldn't get tickets to Ween, and it didn't even occur to me, maybe I should get acid for everyone. First of all, I'm like way too old to be doing acid. I'm like 25 at this point.
Oh, damn it. Really? My windows close on acid?
And so I take the acid, and I go back, and Jillian and I and my sister and her horrible, horrible boyfriend, one of the worst people I've ever encountered. He ended up breaking down and crying and begging, trying to get hit by my car the next day. He's the one that I moved her out of his house. He was like threatening to break her dog's leg.
Ugh, what?
My little sister had a horrible boyfriend at one point. She's good now. Horrible boyfriend. God, I hated that guy. Anyways, he's there. And I think... God,
that poor dog.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
It's all right. The dog's happy now. Lives with my sister. She's all alone.
Its three legs are very happy.
My sister's going, pain is good. To the dog. So I think it was at the point where we went bowling. Instead of seeing Ween, we're bowling. How depressing is that? Yeah.
For everybody but you, because you're on acid.
Either one of you guys on acid?
No.
All right, here's what happens on acid. Lots and lots of things happen on acid, but like all different styles, different directions you can go in. But one of the directions is you could be bowling, and there could be like an Asian crew bowling like three lanes down, and it could be really funny to you and fairly easy and effortless to take your ball, pretend like you're going to bowl your lane, and then fling it last minute like three lanes over and try and hit their pins.
Did this occur to you that it would be funny?
No one fucked with us. But Jillian fucked with me because she realized something was up. She realized something was rotten in Denmark. She started freaking out, going, "What are you on right now? Look, hold on, what is wrong with you?" And I somehow thought it was a good idea to tell her, "Yeah, I did a hit of acid, honey. I'm sorry."
It probably was a good idea because just letting her know this is part of my personality would not be good.
I'm the guy that when he does get into his concerts,
this is what I do. Get used to it. Get used to it.
Want to get married?
Yep. I'll snap your fucking dog's leg in 2 seconds, and I get pissed.
So we're.
This is the me. This is the me you never knew.
See those Asian guys? I'm going to throw this fucking ball over there.
So we're in the hate section of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And there are lots of colorful characters down there.
Yeah.
She finds one. And smells. I don't even know how she found this fucker. But next thing I know, he's sitting at a table with us drinking beer. And he looks like Cillian Murphy, but he's huge and buff. And he's dragged out of his mind.
And
like,
somehow this is payback?
Shaggy red hair. He looks like Molly Ringwald a little bit, right? And stubble. And he's probably like a little older than me and really buff, right? And I notice, but I'm on so much acid, I can't really tell what's happening. But he's like flirting with me and caressing me and touching me the entire night. And it's just uncomfortable. Following me to the bathroom and trying to sneak. I'm being sexually harassed and
sneaking
almost.
Some peaks.
He's sneaking peaks.
And that's how she got payback?
She went to, I found out the next day. She didn't even tell me at the time. She went up. She found this guy. She pointed me out from across like the bowling alley or wherever she first found him. And she goes, "See that guy over there? He's my friend. And he swings both ways. He's here visiting San Francisco. And he's really hoping to find a guy to fuck tonight. And he's on a lot of drugs. You should go." And the guy followed. He was like, he was part of the crew all night long. He was with us. And I was too high to even.
What if he banged you in the bathroom?
What if he raped you, got his friends to show up and just held you down and just plowed you? And then Jillian's like, "I just thought it'd be funny to get payback because you took it."
She didn't even think it was funny. She just wanted me to be uncomfortable and upset.
Did
she
it
was
work?
Pissed.
That's diabolical.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Can you imagine if you did that to a girl?
Yeah, see that girl over there? She's like a butch knight. Wants it. She wants it. She's got a rape fantasy. And she doesn't have pepper spray, so have at it.
Ugh, how terrible would a guy be going after a girl that someone had told him like really wants to get banged tonight? Yeah. Can you imagine?
And she's got a rape fantasy, and no matter how much she says no.
Oh, my God.
That means yes.
Worst prank ever.
And then you think I'm going to break it up in a few minutes, and then you get distracted because you're on acid?
No, because you're about to pull a 300.
Oh, yeah. You have this,
I can't leave this game.
You have this decision to make. What do you do?
Well, you bowl your 300 really quickly.
You guys are like taken aback by that. I think it's clever. It made me love her that much more.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, it's clever. It's ruthless.
Yeah, it's kind of ruthless. I kind of like that.
But yeah, I mean, you're the asshole who just did acid by himself and made everyone else babysit you.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You know what immature thing I did last night?
Guess who's babysitting me? All of you guys.
Because I'm fucking 10 years old.
You went to Farrell.
Listener friend of the show.
I got the joint. Pink truff.
Lauren. Went to see Dr. Drew speak.
I've heard this three times from Drew himself.
LMU.
What happened?
And she goes, hey, you should text him. And I went, is he on stage? And she went, yeah. And I went, okay. And I texted him. I went, just seeing if you're checking your text during your speech.
That's Drew's fault. Why would he check his text during a speech?
I told Drew, I'm like,
and I was like,
what? I don't know.
It was so immature of me. Like, what was the point of that?
But no, he did exactly what you, I mean, if you could pick him to do anything, it would be stop what he's doing, say, hey, look, Mike Carano just text me, and now I'm talking about it on stage. And I know Mike Carano. I mean, it's right.
Even weirder is he called me to tell me that he did that.
I don't know why. It's like the greatest thing that happened to him all week. He must have brought it up to me three times.
You know, week. He journaled about it.
And he kept asking, where's Mike? I want to talk to him about this. I think Mike's aware.
Dear journal, today was a great day.
I am.
You'll never believe.
Yes. Yeah, hey, do you want to take a class together, like a Tai Chi class or something?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
I'm getting in dark, horrible places because I have no interaction. Like, this is the closest thing I have to social hour lately.
That's funny. I've been thinking that, too.
Like, I wake up in the morning. Jillian's gone to work. I try and be productive and do stuff around the house, but I'm by myself. There's no one to talk to. I'm talking to the dogs.
Rotund girl over.
Talking to the dogs, right? Then might go to the gym where I just, like, give everyone dirty looks or laugh at people by mistake because I'm listening to a funny podcast and they get upset. Then I'll come home. Jillian's home and I see her for maybe a half hour before she has to go to school. Then I rush off to work where I just sit and I watch people talk.
Yeah. Why don't you...
And then I do this sometimes and then I go home to an empty, quiet house. And then I go to sleep and repeat. And it's not good for the mental.
I hike every day if you want to come hiking one of these times.
Don't like the physical.
You go to the gym.
Mike does hiking and surreptitious photography while on the hike.
And you get ignored by celebrities.
This hike is nice.
I want you to take you to the cave hike.
I've done it.
The cave hike?
Yeah.
What?
The back cave?
No. The cave...
No. I'll do that. No. Other cave.
I love the trail that I love the trail by me. I love that trail. It's okay. Better, so much better than Runyon.
All right. I think we should take a Tai Chi class or something.
I think we should take...
Oh, let's. I'll do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Oh, we take a call.
Hey, I don't... Because I didn't set up the stuff.
No.
I didn't set it up.
We got two people that are on hold...
Well, we can try. I don't think it's going to work, though. I have to go in there.
Someone says he had a clone of Willie. Tragic accident.
You guys want to talk about me yelling at Catherwood and how uncomfortable I made it for
him? Yeah, that was terrible.
That was uncomfortable. How long ago was that?
That was last week.
Last week.
Oh, my God. That was only a week ago?
I know. It feels like a long time ago.
I was thinking
ago,
about
huh?
that the next day. I was like,
so
I hope they resolved that.
So was I. I was absolutely thinking about that. Well, I walked in on it.
We resolved it.
I walked in, and I sensed the tension, and then it got weirder.
I don't want to get into particulars or anything, but... temper got the better of me, and I started screaming at Mike Catherwood. Not screaming, but raised voice, angry, not joking around.
In front of us.
In front of you, Tyler and Mike and Rune.
That was the problem. In front of people.
Yeah,
the problem.
I know, and I forgot you guys were there because I was so pissed.
And that totally puts him on the defensive, and then you guys are both just rams butting your heads against each other.
Yeah. And it wasn't so much him. It was just I kept going at him, and then he came back at me with some bullshit, which made me even more mad. Yeah. All right, there's really not much to say there, I guess. I just thought I felt bad.
Well,
I went in afterwards during the first break on Loveline, and I apologized to him. And I'm like, look, you're my favorite person I've ever worked with on the show, Drew included. So I apologize. I should never use that tone.
You just make it worse every time. You're my favorite person by far. Everyone else can suck it.
But, yeah.
Tai Chi.
Did he forgive you, or did he just stare blankly?
He's like, yeah. It's cool, man. It's cool.
Motioned you out of the room.
But I think it's only gotten worse since then. Something's gonna give, guys. It's probably gonna be me.
So you're gonna do Tai Chi?
Yeah, you wanna do some Tai Chi or some hot yoga?
I'm in.
Bikram yoga.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's I did do Tai Chi it. Once. Tai Chi master told me I was a natural.
Oh my god!
He
yeah,
because he natural. Afterwards.
He needed four more guys to sign up so he could actually make a rent. That
hey,
month.
He didn't tell my sister then, nor my wife that. Yeah,
then when you didn't sign up for more classes, he called you and said, "I was lying. You were not natural." Click.
And he didn't not have a deaf.
Is he deaf? Yeah. What?
I'm nine. You're hey, not natural at all,
Mike.
A deaf, right. A deaf Tai Chi, a deaf.
Since we're in one, we don't have to do the switcheroo.
No.
Like, hey, how are you? You're on the half disaster. Welcome to the program.
Fluffernutter.
Fluffernutter. I haven't heard that in a while.
Old school.
You know what I bought? You know what I've been buying lately?
Fluffernutter.
Almond butter.
That's fattening.
It's good.
Hi, Fluffernutter.
Thanks for ruining it.
What's your name?
It's three times more expensive than goddamn peanut butter.
What brings you to the program?
It's Marina.
Hi.
Hey, Marina. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Are there boats parked in you? I'm Anderson.
What, like boats?
Are you
Tyler.
What?
Tyler.
Happy late birthday.
Oh, thank you.
When was your birthday?
March 21st.
You're 26 now?
28.
Are you really?
Holy shit.
Coming up on that big 3-0, which sounds like bullshit.
How old were you when you started Loveline?
14.
You were 4?
Yeah, 14. Jeez. Child labor. I started Loveline, I was... 20.
Yeah, I've known you for way too long. Like it's weird.
Do you? Okay. Can I say a couple things real quick about young people?
girls.
No. I watched a great documentary that introduced me to a bunch of songs that I think are beautiful and really interesting. Mm-hmm. It's this woman whose name I can't remember. She just passed away. It's on Netflix, and it's Rufus and Martha Wainwright's mother. And it's a very cool documentary where they sing songs as a tribute to their mom with a bunch of
guests.
Pain
is good.
And like Jimmy Fallon's on there, and he actually does it seriously and sells it, and it's a really interesting to me documentary. And then someone's reading me Rufus Wainwright Jr.'s bio, and he's 14 years old in a bar in London, meets a guy, wants to go for a walk because he realizes he's gay, and the guy rapes him and robs him and beats him senseless in a park.
Was he on acid?
So, I don't know, but here's the thing. I'm like, okay, he's 14 in a bar. And then it reminded me of when I got home at midnight a couple nights ago, about a week ago, and decided, you know what? I'm going to give Blue is the Warmest Color a shot.
Oh.
And I put it on Netflix.
Wait, how does that, what's the connection?
The connection is that girl's in high school and she goes to a bar and orders beer.
Well, she's in Europe.
When does that happen?
Europe.
Okay.
Yeah, Europe, you can drink it like 16.
Blue is the Warmest Color is a very lesbianic movie that is very graphic and was written and directed by a very straight man, and it goes on for 3 hours.
That
movie critics rant and rave about how great it is.
That movie is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah.
Now,
absurd is the
if
word.
If it does
yeah.
anything effective, yes, you really do feel like you know that girl from in high school
yes.
by the end of the movie. But you're gonna know any character if you spend 3 hours with them
yeah.
without whether you see their ass being licked or not. You're going to feel yeah. like you know that character.
That first not
gratuitous,
not the boy girl sex scene. I thought I'm like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, I see his big dick going in her.
Right.
And then and then when it gets to the first lesbian scene, I honestly was like, it's a minute in, and I'm like, what the fuck. What the what?
And neither one of them were lesbians, Tyler. And there's a lot of talk, and both of the actresses. I think the one might be a lesbian, but anyways,
yeah.
She had a lesbian face. That's weird,
yeah.
right? When you have a lesbian
yeah.
face, you can just tell. No matter what her hair looks
all,
like.
All I thought, no joke, is this is sad. I really went. This
apparently
is sad.
They use prosthetic vaginas because there's so much licking.
Yeah.
And they weren't comfortable with it. But Mr. Skin. Wrinkle in here. I brought it up when Mr. Skin was a guest recently, and Mr. Skin says that he and his team blew up the images very, and they are prepared to make statements that those were not prosthetic vaginas. They
They're
were
not
real.
What is that? What is okay? If you and I are making a gay porn,
what kind of a
and your dick is in my mouth? And
I
go, well, there was a condom.
You guys to meet me in the chamber. We're going to do a presentation.
That first sex scene is several minutes long.
Jim's the best,
and it is hardcore. Fingering.
It's
fingering.
Just gratuitous. The whole
That's what I mean.
Gratuitous.
It's like,
and all these critics come out of the woodwork going, "Oh, it's a work of art. It's just absolutely
They've
moving.
Just never
you
seen
must
porno
see."
Apparently.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I got to go see that.
Speaking of which, Mike Carano has me saying porno.
Nymphomania movie. Nymphomania with Shia LaBeouf.
Blue is the Warmest Color made me sad.
Lars von Trier. Latest movie. It's a actual pornographic film.
Yeah,
playing at the New Art right now.
He says it's not a porno.
Doesn't he say he regrets making it now?
I don't know. I don't read things. Hey, Marina, how are those boats that are in you?
Ship shape.
So you bring anything? It's been a long time, Marina. You got anything? Got any new things?
Well, your story about your dad chronoing over those girls reminded me that when my grandpa, he had Alzheimer's, but when he had like an episode, he was watching Mexican TV, and they have very attractive ladies on that show.
Do they wear bumble suits?
He would wave at them and like blow them kisses, and my grandma got jealous.
Oh, no. My mom would not get jealous if those girls took him away. And my dad, like, and the girl, like, I didn't see this happen, but I guess, like, girls look back, like, why the fuck is this 84-year-old man staring at me? And my dad mistakes it. He'll look at my mom and be like, they're really looking at me a lot.
What?
Yeah. Daddy, shut up. Wait till I show you guys a picture of what my mom found under my dad's underwear last week.
Oh, what?
Yeah, some days, one of those chicks.
You'll have to be a part of the show to find out what that is, everybody. Sorry.
It's just an inappropriate.
One of those chicks could kill your dad, probably, by getting up and, like, just lifting up her shirt and going, you like?
That'd be a good way to go.
Clutch his chest.
Thanks, Marina, for the depressing story about your
Alzheimer's
grandpa.
I'm imagining Tio from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Tread lightly. Tread lightly.
Okay. Yeah. I'm treading lightly. We got to find this clone of Willy nonsense.
This is what? Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? Long time since we've taken calls. I think we're being reminded as to why.
Hello.
Nothing against you, Marina. You brought something to the table. You were right there. You had a story.
Sad story about Grandpa. Where's her Grandpa now?
In the big Telemundo in the sky.
I'm going to depress you guys.
All right. I'm going to not let her do that. Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? Fuckers.
He's great. Tyler.
What?
What do all our calls
if all goes according to plan.
Yeah.
Where's this going?
Fart Barf is in here on Monday.
Yes. Oh, that's true. Yeah, next program. Next time you guys download a show with the old After Disaster, you're going to hear Fart Barf on with us.
And they'll sound like this because I'm making them wear their masks.
Are they wearing them on Loveline?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm going to pitch them on a video concept that I have for them. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, it turned out so well last time.
It didn't turn out bad.
No, I mean the whole
oh, how they reacted.
Situation.
Yeah.
The way everything went down.
Yeah. I'll give him some shit about that. So, yeah, we're going to have three fuckers in here, probably. Yeah.
Are we going to make them perform live?
No. there's no way this room could handle the electricity. But, yeah.
God, that would be so fucking cool if they performed live.
Yes, it would.
It'll be interesting to talk. Because, I've talked to them a little bit, but I'm usually drinking when I do. And they seem like they're good guys, but I don't know how they'll be on air. And they're going to be on Loveline for the full 2 hours, too.
Well, they'll be able to cuss on this, so they'll be happier.
We will see where it goes.
Hopefully, it'll sell some records.
Tapes.
LPs.
All right, so what's up, guys? Is that it?
There's one more call, line three.
No, I already went to it.
Of them? Nobody there?
Hey, how are you, line three? Oh, you know what? All right, Petros, PMS. I was listening to Petros, and he's talking with one of his board ops, one of his many board ops, and I guess, you know, everyone now has a fucking podcast. Like, you know, we're one of them. But Petros was, like, talking shit about this guy's podcast. And he's like, you know what a podcaster is? Here's what a podcaster is.
Uh-oh.
Podcaster is a guy who pushes buttons for another radio show, and he's just sitting there going, I could do better than these guys. And I was like, no, Petros!
No!
Quiet down!
Oh, no.
You like directly to me, Petros!
Oh, no. That's upsetting.
Petros is so great. So spot on with most things, except for that.
I like both those guys. I don't listen that often, but I like them both.
All right, I got this. It's just a quick little... adjunct.
I think I might have some advice.
Oh, that'd be great. We need that. All right. Who has seen Henry the Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Not I.
Marina, is he Henry the Portrait of a Serial Killer?
No.
Oh, my God. None of you are any help at all. It's a very, very disturbing a movie from the, I want to say late 80s. And it's just all, it's. I have no information in front of me, but it's a movie about a couple actual real life serial killers. I think Ted Bundy might be in there. It was like a, what do you call it?
Amalgamation?
It's like a composite.
Yeah.
Right. Anyways, one of the things that still stands out to me to this day, and I guess an actual killer did this, or a pair of killers, maybe it was the Boston Strangler. I don't know. I don't have any of my facts, but there's a scene in the movie where, there's these two guys, they're the killers, and they're underneath a freeway overpass, and they're like working, their car is broken down, right? And then they're waving for help, and somebody stops to help them, and they just shoot the guy dead. And I guess that actually happened. And it was so raw and disturbing to me when I was a kid when I saw this, and it still stands out. I'm driving home from the After Disaster last week, and I, you know, it's like 2-3 in the morning.
And you see a car broken down.
And there's a car
overpass?
Broken down with two dudes, and they're waving for help.
Oh, no.
And I have my window down. And I'm like, and I slow down because I am always the type that stops and I get out and I push cars. Like, I'm that guy that always helps people on the road because it's so nice to have somebody who's actually helping.
Yeah.
But I just immediately had a flashback to Henry, the Portrait of a Serial Killer. So I just coast by and I'm like, what do you guys need? They're like, we need help. I'm like, can't do it. And I just kept going. And then I felt really bad. So I
watched a scary movie.
I flipped a bitch. And I went back, and I was like, really.
And now they're like, "Fuck, this guy's coming back to murder." Now everybody's just fucking. Like, on
I saw a movie where a guy said he wasn't going to help. And
it
then he
made
came
sense
back.
In the '80s because you didn't have cell phones or anything. But how the fuck, you know? I was thinking, what's
you're
bad?
Right.
I couldn't.
You're right.
So I flipped a bitch just out of curiosity, morbid curiosity. And
you just saw a body laying there.
Right, as they murdered someone else who pulled up.
And you're somebody, the witness now, and they saw you, and they noticed that you saw them, and now you're on the run.
So somebody pulled up right behind them, which made me feel a little bit better. I'm like, hey guys, sorry, I saw a movie. And I actually asked them if they had heard of the movie, and they hadn't heard of it. And as I'm still rolling very slowly by them, I'm like, what do you guys need, though? They're like, we ran out of gas. We seen me push to the gas station, which was like a block and a half away. I'm like, sorry, my back's broken.
Go to
the
gas station and go get the little fucking thing. And just
yeah, there's fucking two of you. I pushed a car by myself to a gas station more than two blocks.
We're not bragging about how strong we are.
Somebody rolled up behind them, though, and then Stanley and I.
Me strong!
We stabbed it, and we cruised.
Good.
Got out of there. But it was... And they both were like so apologetic and worried when I'm like, I saw a movie where these guys, and they killed somebody underneath the freeway overpass. Oh no. I'm sorry. It's not us, man. You can keep going.
And there's a light in the sky and you start weeping. It's an alien! Oh, God.
I did.
You actually told them that?
Yeah, I told them the whole
good
thing.
Good move. Good
they
move.
They never heard of the movie.
No, but really, it's just, you guys haven't heard of it? It's on Netflix here. It's great.
I didn't do that, but I'm like, there's a scene
you
where two guys,
scene
just like
YouTube.
You, are underneath the freeway overpass, just like you, and they're asking people for help, just like you, and then they shoot and kill the person.
There was a highway patrol.
Like, just like us.
Oh, that'd be horrible. There was a highway patrol in San Diego that was pulling over young girls just and raping like and that. Murdering them.
Oh, that's nice.
And he got caught. And he was also like on the news often to talk about safety, and they would interview Craig Pyre was his name, and they would interview
I
him.
Remember his name
because
his
it was
idol.
A big case, man. But he was pulling over girls, like out off the 8 that were alone, and he would pull them over and he'd talk to them, and then he'd just fucking rape them and murder them.
Uh huh. Why are you telling this story?
How did no one ever catch him?
Why is this story coming about?
I that's the point. It was the way he got caught was like lucky, and I can't remember how it was.
Well.
Because he obviously did it when there were no cell phones, so you didn't call and go, oh shit, I'm getting pulled over by a fucking
highway
patrol.
And he would always kill them?
I don't remember.
Maybe he didn't kill them, and maybe he pulled one over like 8 years later for speeding, and she's like, I know you. No?
But I remember they were saying, don't pull over, even for a police officer, if you're alone and you're a single female, unless it's in a well-lit area, and they were making that public. Go to a convenience store. Go. Do not stop in a dark area.
It's a license to speed. If you're a little, if you're a young girl,
do everything. Right. Rob Banks.
You want some advice?
Yeah, let's get some advice. Unless you guys want to talk about detachable noses, body parts.
I'm pretty sure I saw the detachable nose at a baseball game in Washington D.C. It was very terrifying. I couldn't stop looking at it. I just kept wearing a foul ball. Was gonna knock it off.
did he breathe like this?
No, he did not.
Pooh Bear from Salt and Sea, Vincent D'Onofrio's character. In that movie, he had a fake nose. Take it off.
How do they make a fake nose for a real nose?
Jillian brought this up that she wanted to take her nose off because she was so stuffed up and she was really wishing she could take it off to clear her head. And she was like, you know what girls do when they get really, really sick and they're like really fragile and vulnerable. And she's like, why can't I just take it off? I just want to take it off. Why aren't we created with noses that can just be taken off so we can clear out our heads when we get sick like this? And I start like, how do you respond to that? So I start acting as though it's an actual question that deems worthy the answer. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, honey, if we could all take off our noses, the vast majority of us would have lost our noses by the time we're like 5.
Oh, yeah.
Six.
They'd be gone. Gone.
And I said, the only people that would still have their noses are those nerds that like have everything down pat. And they're like, you must keep this here and you must keep that there. Yeah. And those people would all be targeted.
No,
and we would
like,
all start.
They'd have like those, you know how the sunglasses have that like.
Yeah, it just hangs there on your chest.
They'd have one for like noses your that plug into
nose.
Your nostrils.
Why would you
could,
take
like,
it off?
Just drop your nose off and it would just hang down like a necklace. And you can put it back on.
Okay, he only killed one chick, but he had pulled over several girls and tried to hit on them and made them get off on a closed off ramp in the dark off the freeway. This girl was coming back from San Diego State. He hit on her, She resisted apparently or something. Then he hit her with his flashlight and strangled her
This is not fun.
He then threw her body over the bridge. Here's the creepy part. Here's coincidentally, 2 days later, while covering the investigation of the murder, a reporter for KCST-TV interviewed Pyre during a ride-along segment about self-protection for female drivers. And during the interview, he had scratches on his face and neck.
That's like Scagnetti. This is like where they got ideas from Scagnetti for Natural Born Killers, as well as Bad Lieutenant, Harvey Keitel's character.
Yeah.
Remember when he make the blow up, the blowjob face when he pull him over and then he, never mind. I'm sorry. This show's going dark. Sorry. But anyways,
hey, everybody in your cars right now. How's it going?
Thank God we don't have detachable body parts, because they'd all be, can you imagine what a high price they'd cost too? I mean, anyone that had, that wouldn't have lost them by the time they were a teenager would just get them stolen.
And you're trying to like decide, do I fork over the money for one that looks real, or do I buy like the, like,
I know,
sad like plastic nose?
It'd be a status symbol. Get a good one.
Gold nose.
Like the most, like the most, the richest dictator in the world has like three or four noses. All right, I went nowhere. Sorry. Tai.
Listener writes in and says, "So I have this friend who follows me around and constantly tries to show me up, but often comes across as foolish and desperate." I think Brian's writing in about you. "Recently, he has become more comfortable with me, and as such, he has become more and more of an ass. I don't want to be an ass myself and tell him off because he doesn't have many friends. I now know why. And I hate the thought of crushing his self-esteem with an outburst. He follows me around like a tiny sycophant and has been trying to force himself into my circle of friends. I don't know how I'm going to put up with him for the next few years. Any advice on how to solve my conundrum?"
The advice is obvious. Just you need to find a different friend. But do you think this is one of those topper guys where that's like the that's nothing guy? Oh, man, you guys, it was so much traffic. That's nothing. I was in 7 hours of traffic to go one block. You know what I mean? We all know those people.
I think it's the guy that sings behind bars.
Wait, why does he have to deal with him for a number of years? School?
That's what I'm guessing.
Dude, he didn't fill in the gaps. I mean, if it's that bad, you switch schools. Get the fuck out of there.
I don't think you can talk to people like that. You can't go, "Hey, listen, man, you're really annoying. Can you totally change your personality?"
Yeah, I don't really have a good advice for this one. Because I'm the kind of guy that just tries to like run away from his problems.
Yeah, me too.
So I would just be like, "Yeah, I'm going to sit over there at lunch. And oh, man, there's nowhere for you to sit." Sorry.
You know what's weird is when
I solve everything like a third grader.
When you read that question, I felt his pain. Like, I felt the feeling like you're trapped. Like, oh, shit, I have to show up at this school every day.
Yeah, it's awful. And we take it for granted that we don't have those kinds of things, except for work. But, you know, it's rare that we're at work. Well, for me, anyways, that I have to deal with somebody that I absolutely hate. But
we don't have to have a lot of interaction. I don't have to have any almost.
Now I deal with this kind of conundrum at camp all the time when I'm a camp counselor, and I'll see one kid. Sometimes he's kind of like more immature than the rest of the kids. He's not fitting in. And what I'll do, because I'm a genius, is I'll find another kid. Like, sometimes it's not even the same cabin, but I'll find another kid and
make
at
him
camp
fight?
Somewhere.
Make him fight?
No.
It's the death.
Pair him up, and I kind of pawn him off as so he can be a friend with one of these others. As long as he has somebody, I'll kind of like do the Indiana Jones things where you switch out the bag of gold for the the dirt, and I'll switch it out. And if you can find somebody else who kind of sucks and
kind of ingenious.
To this kid, you might be able to get him off.
Right, here's the thing. You find the two people that are, you find your annoying friend, and you find someone that you think they might get along with. You plan, the three of you, to go to a concert. You bail at the last minute. They still have to go.
But here's the danger. Here's the slippery slope part, is that you are doing so much conniving and wheeling and dealing. Now you're in their world, and there's a chance that you might never get out of it. Now you're one of them.
Yeah.
Now there's three of
them.
You.
Yes.
Wash your
them.
Hands of it. Just do the concert thing like three times, and then you're just.
But if you're
done.
Seen and it's a status thing, you're gonna have the stigma and the stink of them, and you're gonna be considered one of them, and you can never get back to the plastics table. That is a possibility.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I don't know if you're at the plastics table ever, but I would try.
Knows.
I don't. Hopefully, he's not at the plastics table.
Especially nowadays with social media, you could probably introduce him to somebody while online.
Get
him hooked on drugs.
You know what?
Ooh, get him hooked on drugs. Ooh, set him up with drugs, and then turn him in.
That's, you know, a good
that's
one.
A better one. That's
a
good
put
one.
Put a cat head in his locker.
That's a callback, Tyler.
This is a good time in your life to learn to distance yourself from people with blunt honesty and just say, "I need to be alone today."
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I knew how kind old of, these people were.
You're like me, though, if you do
that. Yeah, this
and
is a tough
people
one.
People don't like
that's
me.
A tough one.
Because I'm just so standoffish and cold with so many people now.
It has to be school age, because even I'm at the age where there's not really anyone I'd have like.
Yeah, it's obviously
for, like,
school, but is it
something.
College? Is it high school? Is it junior high? We need to do a survey with our listeners and figure out where they are.
Yeah.
Because I want to, I don't even know if I talked to you about this thing, but I want to do this listener event where, but we need 250 heads, 21 and over. And I know we can get 250 people, but I don't know if we can get 250 people 21
Do you really
and
think
over.
We can get 250 people?
For LA, for sure. If we give enough notice, like 3 weeks notice.
Dude, we're huge in LA. We're like number 8 in LA.
There's parking. Because we got it's a really cool spot, but it's a bar. But I got a hookup. We just need 250 minimum. Be a good time.
Do you think, did you have any interest?
We do a show. We could show some stuff. I could show a couple of my movies maybe. They'd be done by now.
An event.
Did you have any interest in seeing Kraftwerk at Disney Hall last week?
No. They have a Kraftwerk. Can you imagine the level of douchey?
Okay, that's what I wanted to bring up. Because I don't think it's that. I think these are actual fans.
Some. But there'd be tons of steampunks there.
Okay, the reason I bring it up is because I saw the show and I'm actually interested in it. That could be the most hipster show in LA in years. And it's at the Greek Theater.
It's a recurring show.
It's a South African synthesizer artist who refuses to do appearances or do press or ever
is
do
it
an interview.
Diane?
Yeah, that's maybe.
It's them. It's a girl and a guy.
No, this is an African American guy. One guy. But he's like a pioneer on the synthesizer. And he's made
Diane Orr. God damn it.
He's made 10 records, and I actually listened to them, and they're good and interesting. But so it's a bunch of people playing the music of this guy who refuses to make appearances or do interviews or anything. And it's David Byrne and a bunch of people like that. And I thought, this is going to be nothing but hipster douchebags that had no idea who this fucking guy was, that did the same thing I did, which was look him up. And I found a documentary on him on YouTube that was only 22 minutes long. And I went, this is the trendiest thing you could possibly go to at the Greek Theater this season. And I kind of want to go.
Okay, so what are you saying?
My point is, it's going to be a bunch of dudes with curled up mustaches and fedoras that think they're hip. They're into this insider music that no one else knows about, which is what I'm going for.
Uh-huh. How is that like the new thing? Like that is the thing. Like
I don't know.
You know it's a thing when car commercials are appealing to those fucks. Have you seen the new Honda commercial where the guy is like going, the world sucks kind of, but there's still awesome things, and he pets his beard. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen it?
Combining multiple commercials.
But the Just for Men ad campaign is the latest. Like they're going into the hipster world because they're like, hey, you know what? Our Just for Men ad commercials for the beard, the gray beard, doesn't have to be just for the old guys anymore. It can be for the young kids. They have a guy like surfing with a giant beard for all the guys that make life interesting and grow facial hair. And it's got a bunch of hipsters. You know what I'm talking about.
I can imagine it.
Die Antwoord. It's not Die Antwoord.
Did you guys hear what Wu-Tang is doing?
Yes.
The Antwoord?
Yes.
Do you hear about this, Anderson?
No.
What do you think the price is going
to
be on that?
They've been secretly working on an album for 2 years.
Yes.
They're going to release one copy of it. It's going to first they're going to travel around the country with it like it's fucking King Tut's bones.
Did you see it?
No.
It's amazing.
And they're gonna have like very exclusive listening parties where everyone will get to come in, get highly screened for recording devices, and everyone will get like headphones that are connected to the main thing.
Uh-huh.
They'll play it, everyone gets to listen to it, and then it's gonna go up for auction. There's the single copy, and whoever buys it can do with it whatever they want.
It's in a silver box that's extremely fancy. And then you open it up and it's got these like levels. Did you see it?
No.
It's crazy looking. I wonder what it's going to go for.
Whose idea is this? This is a genius idea.
Yeah, they said, the article I read said it was pretty genius because the way RZA was explaining it is, we didn't make an album, we made a piece of art. And it is
an album.
But he goes, it's one piece of art. And whoever buys it, it's a collectible piece of art.
What if some asshole just buys it, never listens to it, and just locks it away?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
No, but here's the thing. It's not art because it's made by a machine. It's printed, and it's
pressed. The box is artist. The box is silver, and it's art.
It's the idea of it
itself. But how do you ever make sure there's only one?
It'll be the only one until whoever buys it, which they're spending like 2 or 3 million.
Then it's goddamn rabbits.
But whoever buys it can then like sell it or leak it or do whatever.
Well, they can just press a bunch...
Of course, of course.
I mean, yeah. I'm not even talking about the music. I'm talking about the physical, actual box and the record itself and the sleeve. Like, how do you ensure that was only pressed once?
No. Like the box is like this. Like it's like a treasure chest.
Yeah, it's the only treasure chest.
It's gonna.
It's a silver box that's carved and stuff.
Okay, all right. That's pretty. I would see a lot of different bands doing that, and I would never guess it would be Wu-Tang.
Right.
I didn't even know they were still a band.
You could do multiple guests, and it'd be like 100 bands, and I don't think I'd pick Wu-Tang the first.
I think the
80.
Joke's gonna be all on us when like their label just buys it and then just releases it like a normal.
And they just press
after.
A bunch
Can
of them.
Can you imagine how shitty that would be?
Wait, but whoever buys it, if Wu-Tang is huge, they could just immediately become a record label.
Yeah.
No, because you're not allowed to sell other people's material.
But you own everything.
It's
you
like,
own it.
Like the master.
You own all of it, I would think.
I don't think so.
There
I don't
things
know.
That whoever buys it can do whatever they want with it.
Uh-huh. That's the box that the CD comes in.
Oh, God, it looks
in.
Like Hellraiser.
Yeah.
It totally looks like Hellraiser. You guys ever seen Hellraiser?
No.
What kind of world am I living in?
Is that the guy with all the little pins in his head there?
Yes.
Little pinhead action?
Pinhead, yeah.
Do you want another advice?
Let's do it. I feel like we set that kid straight, right? Plant drugs on him and call, tell the principal. Or all find right. a douchier person and hook him up.
Brenna writes in about the AD road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. I've been listening to you for quite some time. This September, I'll be taking a road trip through California for about a week and
nope.
a half.
Nope.
After listening to you guys, especially Mike, talk about the places you frequent, I've decided to make it an AD road trip. My plan is as follows. San Francisco, a night at the Madonna Inn, drive to L.A., stay at Palm Springs at the Ace Hotel, experience the Salton Sea, drive and stay night in Death Valley, and then end up in Vegas.
That's goddamn great.
My question to you guys is, what is the top thing to see, do, and eat in each of these locations? I've been to L.A. before and have done all the touristy things and not big on the party scene. Hope you can help. P.S. I'm good with not going to Skid Row.
Is it a dude or a chick?
It's Brenna, which is a lesbian.
Brenna.
Is she coming with her boyfriend?
She's coming with whoever makes her.
What? Tyler, that's not you.
Sex joke.
I know, that was worse than the Gardner joke.
No, it wasn't.
She's coming with whoever makes her?
I mean, is she coming with a friend or something? Because that's kind of important. If she's traveling by herself, I don't think she should do part of that trip by herself.
All right, let's say she's going with a friend.
Salton Sea? Yeah. I even think Death Valley would be okay by yourself, but I think it would be much better. You'd enjoy it much more with somebody else.
Let's just presume that she's going with
somebody. I'm sure she's going to be with somebody who takes road trips by themselves.
Yeah, if you're coming with somebody.
Split gas!
I would...
Start with the top of the list.
Here we go. The show's coming to a screeching halt.
The important thing is...
The show's now ending?
The important thing is make the extra 2 hours when you leave San Francisco and drive the one the entire way. Do not take the 5.
Great advice.
Because that is one of the most beautiful drives in the world.
And take the 17-mile drive.
It's where like half the car commercials you see are filmed.
With the 17-mile drive.
Along the car
take your time.
It's one of the great things that you'll see on the coast, which actually costs money to drive, but it's a stretch like along Pebble Beach.
Yes.
And it costs like $10.
Is that
maybe.
By like Monterey?
Yeah. And you got to go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
So good.
Even though it's good. If she's here in summertime, though, it won't be so good.
And then get to the Madonna Inn at night because it doesn't matter. And then go swimming.
The pool is my favorite pool in the
world. Gotta get a piece of cake.
Yeah, I love that pool too.
Got to steal the wine glasses like me and Lauren did.
You got to steal some goblets.
Yeah.
This trip's
getting expensive already.
You should stay in the Barrel of Fun. It's very expensive. You're not going to get out of that Madonna Inn for less than $200 for the cheapest room. But my favorite room I've ever stayed in there probably is the Barrel of Fun.
I liked my room, Cabin Still. I enjoyed that room.
That was a sweet room.
That was comfortable, and I loved that shower. That shower was like a cocoon.
Yeah, go on, make sure that you get like one of the rock showers. It doesn't matter if it's waterfall. Waterfall's
still,
cool, but as long as it's a rock shower.
Cabin Still was not an expensive room because it didn't have a view and stuff, but it was warm, and it was comfortable, and the shower was very...
Anyway, you can shower exactly where Mike Carano has showered.
Probably the top 10 showers I've ever taken in my life were all at the Madonna Inn. They have great showers.
And then
continue trucking.
Yeah, then truck through L.A.
Yeah, don't even stop. Fuck L.A.
I wouldn't stop either.
Yeah, no L.A. L.A.'s terrible. There's nothing
Yeah, new. I mean, you could just go to Palm Springs straight from Madonna.
Palm Springs is tight.
Hang a left
L.A. I can't vouch for Ace, but right next door is the Caliente, even though they fucked me because they let
I can vouch for Ace.
Did I tell you guys that they...
Yeah.
This whole trip has bad potential because I was having a conversation outside of my AA meeting with a guy who I'm not going to mention because he's a celebrity, but he was telling me, I said, hey, do you and your wife ever go to the Madonna Inn? He goes, that was our place for years. And he goes, I've been there twice in the past 2 years and the service was so fucking shitty.
Yeah.
He goes, I told them, I want to talk to the manager. And he goes, I told the guy, I've stayed here 10 times. I've never been treated this badly. The last 2 times I've been here, no service, no one gave a shit.
Yeah.
My room, everything is fucked up. I'm never coming back here. And he goes, and we walked out.
It's weird, right?
And I was
but
like...
I'll have a slice of cake to go.
Yeah, of course.
But Caliente Tropics, right next door, you should watch Alpha Dog before you go, before you make this trip, because that's actually the hotel where it happened. where a lot of that stuff at the end happens. Just don't lie to them about how many dogs
that's
you have.
That's the dog that learned the alphabet, right?
Don't lie to them. Tell them you only have one dog because the maid will see you with three dogs, and she will tell the front desk, and then they will just charge your credit card without even talking to you about it.
I got to tell you, the ace has potential for bad service, too. And douchebags, but if you happen to luck out, the ace is a great experience.
Okay, again, Salton Sea, you don't want to drive through there.
Not the cheapest place in town either.
Do not stay the Salton Sea. Just drive through there, look at it, and then get the fuck out of there.
Maybe just get close enough to smell it, and then turn around.
You want to see it, but we don't really have any great spots in the Salton Sea, right?
In the Salton Sea, just go.
I think that first Bombay yacht club. On the first one you get to in 10 minutes is probably because there's dead.
I don't
fish.
Think I've ever been there. The first yacht club.
Oh, because it's not any more impressive to go to Bombay Beach. This one is like the yacht club that's fallen into
Bombay
the water.
Bombay Beach, you can actually see the animals in their element.
Yeah, that's true. That's
actually,
true.
It's like seeing the animals at the zoo.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a little neighborhood.
This is just like empty cages on this side. But it's another hour to get over there to the other side.
And then what you want to do is for your Death Valley portion, you're going to go all the way. But Death Valley is like the opposite direction.
There's a lot of driving.
A lot of driving. Yeah, you're going to have to figure out your route because you don't want to do this route. You probably want to go from Madonna into Death Valley, then down into Salton Sea. But you got to do Long Street Casino.
You got it. The thing you got to do, I tell people out here, and some people, my friend Maria that works at the Improv did it, and I was so excited and so proud that someone actually listened to me for once in my life. I told her, get up super early, drive out there, check into the Long Street, go hit the volcano, walk through Scotty's, don't take the tour, spend the night at the Long Street, have some food, have some drinks, get up, stop at the Opera House on the way out of town, and you're back home in 3 or 4 hours. And she did it and said it was one of the greatest trips she's ever had.
She did all that in like 24 hours?
She left at 8 in the morning. They went, checked in. They were at the Long Street by 1, by noon 1. They went to Scotty's, walked around, hit the volcano for sunset, back to the Long Street, spent the night, got up, stopped at the Opera House, took the tour of the Opera House, walked around the property. And
I
then
feel like I just watched that
drove home.
Episode. Heard everything. I said 24 hours, and he gave me the exact... Yeah.
They got up, they drove to Death Valley, they checked into the Long Street, went to the volcano, went to Scotty's, came back, spent the night, drove back, hit the Opera House, home.
Longtime listener, Hashmir. Hey, close to a friend, too.
Well, I mean...
I like that Hashmir a lot. Anyways, he sent me an email, and he reminded me, it was a very long email, and I've not responded to you, sorry, Hashmir, but he reminded me of your Mike's new Richter scale for earthquakes. 1 is, didn't feel it, 10, everyone dead.
That's a good one.
With a bunch of levels in between.
What level is California is a separate country?
That's probably towards the 10. 1, didn't feel it, 10, everyone's dead.
The AD Quotes Twitter account has been, or quoting AD... at quoting AD has been churning out some good ones. It's giving me nightly giggles.
What, Tyler? Nightly giggles? You just said that out loud?
I think whoever's listening to them and tweeting them, I think they listen to them when they get off work late at night. But
why is that? Why do you think that?
Because that's the only time that they tweet.
Oh, well, that's not... You think that. You should know that, right? Unless they're writing them down and then transferring them later.
Yeah, that's how you Twitter. You write down and then transfer.
All right. Can we call this a show?
Anything in Vegas? That's our last stop in Vegas.
I gotta be honest.
Nothing in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't.
Don't go to Vegas.
I don't think Vegas is good.
Laughlin. We'll go to Laughlin.
Well, if they've never been to Vegas.
You know what? I'll tell you where to go in Vegas if you're gonna spend the night. The Cosmopolitan Hotel. That's the nicest place there.
Yeah, but what are these people? Brewster's Millions?
Your damn generation. Anything that's about rich people, it's Brewster's Millions!
That's right.
Brenna is not made of money.
It's more like Brenna's Hundreds.
Brenna, you need to get back to us with your budget.
I think this is just her roundabout way of saying, can I come by the After Disaster? I've heard you have other listeners on there.
If it's you and your hot roommate, you probably can.
You probably can. We'll have to run by our manager.
The I think this trip is exciting.
He'll meet you out in Death Valley if you want.
When did she say she was coming? Summertime.
September.
Wait, don't you think this is a great
September.
Trip?
September.
Oh, that's pretty good. All the kids are back in school. Smart move, Brenna. Yeah, you know
hey,
what?
Brenna wasn't born yesterday.
Makes everything better.
You think?
That changes. Oh, absolutely. You don't want to go in the summertime.
Might be cold, though.
Now you can go to Monterey and not worry about a sea of children at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Because that's worth a stop, for sure.
And you're not going to get scalped by Germans in Death Valley.
No, it's the... who's there when we went in the winter? It's Asians, right?
Germans.
No, Germans in the summer. Asians in the winter.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Germans in the summer, Asians in the winter, Germans in the summer.
You know, I just realized that they were both part of the The Anti-Allies. What were they called?
Yeah, that's what they called the Anti-Allies.
No, what were they called? World War II. The Axis.
All Asians?
No, Germans and Japanese.
The Axis?
The Axis, yeah. All right, what the fuck? The show's done, right? No? Unless Tyler, unless Mike wants to go over the itinerary of his friend
again.
Yeah,
so wait, they got up at what
They got
time?
Up early. They got up early, got on the road. They drove to Baker, made a left.
Have you been to Early Man?
Went.
Oh, no. You gotta go to Baker. They gotta go to Baker, right? Look at yes. the depressing shit in Baker.
You gotta see some depressing shit in Baker.
You'll probably hit Baker if you go to Vegas and Death Valley. You're going to have to go to Baker almost, yeah. right? And through Pahrump. Oh, you can see the actual car that was used by Bonnie Clyde, right? Is that not cool?
I think so. I think...
That's a Pahrump at the Pahrump
casino. You gotta stop at
if you've never been to Vegas, I guess you have to go to Vegas and just spend the night and walk
the
strip.
The Dealer Tainers.
Not called the Imperial Palace anymore. They changed the name.
What?
Yeah, it's very depressing.
What's it called? The Access?
It's called something awful that I can't even remember.
The Access.
Some very uncatchy name. But they still have Dealer Taters.
Yes. Well, that's fine.
That's great.
Definitely got to pop in and see the Dealer Taters.
Yeah, they redid all the rooms, Ty. I think they got rid of the
love tubs. I would recommend staying at the Monte Carlo. You can get really good deals at that place. It's a nice hotel, nice pool. You can get rooms there for like 60 or 70 nights.
Okay, I was going to say the Flamingo is the same kind of deal. It's kind of run down. But you're right there in the center of the action. You walk across the street, you're at Caesars. You can hit all those, the ones with the volcano and all that, the tigers and all that shit.
The Mirage.
Yeah, and that one strip. And then pretty much get a taste for Vegas right there.
Also, nice. If you got some bread, some micronos.
Yeah, some dough, some greenbacks, some toad
French
skins.
Restaurant inside Paris. The one that's like right when you walk in to the left. It's actually... fucking amazing.
Well, I will say, in that little fake cobblestone street area that has the sky above, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I hate that place. I get so claustrophobic
so
in there.
So disorienting.
But the thing is, the dessert places in there are really good.
Okay. I feel like the
like
show
the pastry
is
shops and stuff
to new levels of awfulness.
Really good.
How early would you say we'd have to get up?
I get up like at 7:30, leave by 8. What we do is we drive to Baker and make a left.
I love that you have a lot what time to get up and the one time you're out the door by. You have about 30 minutes to get your pants on, get ready for the day.
How's Scott? Where's Scott by Scott? We don't plug the After Disaster anymore. There's no action over there. What's going on, guys?
I don't know. We need to have him in here, though.
We do. What's up, Scott? I still owe you money, too. Maybe that's the problem.
Invite him in.
He's been invited for a while. He hates us now.
He saw a fucking scary movie where three guys have a podcast and they invite a loyal listener in at night.
Oh, Day with the Boys is up on the homepage, though, if you guys have still not been a part of the Day with the Boys. And,
did you say homepage? Upsetting.
I did say. What's wrong with homepage?
I don't know. No one says that.
Wait, why is there a fake shirt on the on the page, on the homepage? Funky Buns. What is Funky Buns?
That was when Mike said that dolphins... Isn't it weird the dolphins are so smart, but they think that we're just talking hot dogs, and that our clothes are funky buns?
What was that like?
Was that a dolphin laugh?
Mike, that was like the most genuine weird laugh ever from you. Like it just burst out. Like,
well, I just remember the joke now.
It was like you were starting to make a noise like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
and then you thought it was funny as you started to make those. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
A Day with the Boys. Watch it. It's chilling. Mike doesn't like it, but I loved it. Tyler, did you even watch it?
I watched most of it. I didn't see the end.
Most of it? It's 17 minutes. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I'm very busy, man.
I'm busy. All right.
Everyone hated that damn song in that episode.
What episode?
The episode where the damn Day with the Boys music was playing for like 30 minutes.
I got corrected, Eric. It's not a saxophone. It's a some kind of trumpet horn.
All
right.
Do they all talk like this?
Everyone talks like this.
Everyone sounds like Stanley having all his teeth out. Oh, Stan.
He's all right. He's not with me right now, then.
Is he with us, though?
I finally took his cone off his head.
Yeah, seriously.
What? Where is Stanley?
The way you said that was he's not with me. Right. I was like, well, is this something we should know?
He's at home, recovering, recouping.
What was the cone for?
Because he was licking his butt and scratching his face.
Does he still hide from you when you try to give him his medicine?
No, got new medicine because the old medicine was... This is so dull to everyone! I had
what
to like, shove
what time did you get up
a
when
syringe.
You got the medicine?
I woke up at 8, No, that's not true. I woke up at 11:30. All right, guys. Really, seriously. Thanks for not listening.
What time are you getting up tomorrow?
Well, I have a commitment to go hiking at 10. But if I wasn't going hiking, I would get up, I would drive to Baker, check into the Long Street Casino in Death Valley, I'd drive out to Scotty's Castle, that take a walking tour only, maybe hit the volcano, come
walking
back.
Walking tour only as opposed to what?
To when we paid.
That was a walking tour.
No, I'm saying the first time we were there, no. I know my mic's off, I'm going to keep talking.
It's
the first
down.
Time we were there and we just walked around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a self-guided tour.
Yeah, that was better.
You don't want to pay for the paid walking tour.
I don't want to pay and waste an hour and a half.
It would have been cool if we got to see the actual trumpets at the end.
You know what I learned from watching good old Heelhauser about Scotty's Castle?
Oh
no, really?
One day a year, you get to use the employees of the place get to use the pool.
But it's never been filled with water.
Yeah,
how do they get to use it?
There was water in it in the episode.
What?
Not according to our tour guide.
Our tour guide said
never had water in it.
Part of stipulation, you're never allowed to have water in it. It was his dying wish. Never ever do anything to this place after I'm gone. Never complete. Fuck that guy.
It was like full of crystal blue, sparkling, gorgeous
okay,
water.
Okay, motherfucker.
He must be talking about
that's
something
what you get
else.
For taking the bootleg self-guided tour.
Not only
no,
did
we took the paid one, and the guy told us that Scotty's dying wish was never to have it finished.
That's just like something you would tell your guests at your house when your pool's all fucked up.
My dying wish, and then they'd be like, "But you're still
like, there's
alive."
There's no way they put water in there. That just doesn't make sense.
I got to see that episode now. I'm gonna YouTube it.
All right, good night, everyone.
Good night.